This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode 664 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Today's episode, today's recap, today's Cliff Notes is from the conversation with Dr. Stephanie Boyer of Bryant University. And this was really fun as a podcast episode. They're all fun and interesting, but she has been in this higher education role for a long time. She comes at it realizing that she has been in sales since she was selling Girl Scout cookies. And she's also focused on really promoting almost more than a lot of the other professors who are doing this, where they're in the classroom and they're doing the research and they're a part of the students' lives and the community's lives. But she is very active out there in the world promoting these programs and just really being a champion for this on the vocal level. A lot of people see her as kind of the rock star leader of this movement from a public side because she's out there. If you're connected with her, if you're not connected with her, please do it. But if you're connected with her on LinkedIn, then you see how much she is doing from a marketing, social media activity standpoint. And it's not just because she's trying to promote it for her own reasons. She's just promoting the whole thing. And so that's where this was really fun to have her on the show. She's also one of the few professors that I've had on the show that I've actually met in person. So her, Dr. Tim Butler, and then Dr. D, met them all at the same time when they were in Florida for a conference. And I went and met them all. They were on a panel and got to hang out with them. So that's fun as well. There's only them plus Dr. Sterling that I've actually met in person from all of these this season, which even with that being said, many other seasons, many other guests in the past, I've never met them in person, only virtual. And so it's always fun for both, right? And to know someone in person and add to the podcast episode obviously helps. And I met her in person prior to recording. So, you know, I knew more about her and kind of what she was focused on. So in these episodes, what was really fun is, again, talking to her when we're talking about authenticity, the fact that she realized she's always in sales and selling. Now, if anyone who knows me and my background, I say that I wasn't in sales. I avoided people. I didn't like people. I chose sharks over people, right? Like I was taught to dislike sales and let's say hate salespeople. But what's interesting is she talks about walking around the neighborhood to sell Girl Scout cookies so she could win the prize, like the stuffed animal or whatever it might be. What's interesting is I did that same thing as a kid. As much as I don't think of that as sales and I wouldn't relate it to that, but I did that in junior high and high school and walked around the neighborhood and sold the, you know, the calendars and the gift wraps and or the cookies or the whatever it was for the school for a prize. And that was my mode. In fact, I actually do some training on game player types and I can see how that relates to me back then where I wasn't focused on sales. I was just focused on achieving and succeeding in that, right? Not necessarily having to be the winner, but just focused on winning. And what's interesting is hearing her talk about that and where, yes, that is sales, but might not think about it because, again, we think about sales as this weird, gross thing or this high pressure thing, or sales is something that someone else is doing, but this isn't sales because this is service and business. And so I really love that she, you know, brings that in. What's also interesting, and we didn't go into a ton of details, but she was in sales, you know, Girl Scout cookies, and then she was doing other things. Even worked as a firefighter slash paramedic. And so where is sales skills in that? Which is interesting because everything in say in life is some level of sales or persuasion. I had a guest, I mentioned this in that episode 661 with her, is that I had a guest in many, many years ago on the podcast where he was a previously in the military and previously a police officer and now in consulting. And where, you know, being a police officer, you have to be good at sales because you're persuading someone to do what you need them to do and trying to avoid the, you know, excess force or avoid having to go down a terrible path. And you just want to de-escalating all that kind of stuff. Even the, you know, the Chris Voss negotiation, which I'm, you know, anyone listening to my podcast knows that I'm not a big one on the negotiation because you have to negotiate all the time, especially in that tactic, right? The never split the difference mode. I think you're doing something wrong when it comes to that. But like it's all sales related. It's all persuasion. It's all personal. It's all relative to the human to human. And so I absolutely love that. And I love, of course, and I'm very biased. And of course, the guests that I have on the show are very biased because they align with the show and they align with actually speaking to me. Because again, I've mentioned this before. There's many professors out there that I've reached out to that literally said, no, I don't want to talk to you. No, I don't want to be on your podcast, or they ignore me, or no, I don't want to talk to you because you're a consultant. And those closed-minded professors are not on the show, which means we don't hear their perspective. And it is obviously some kind of, you know, observational guest bias that the people who I have on the show see sales as helpful and sales as service. And that's why they're doing what they do. And then they align with the show. So obviously we got to keep that in mind, but I absolutely love the fact that, you know, she sees and then now teaches that sales is really a mindset about helping people, about being of service, not what am I going to get out of this for me, the salesperson, but how do I help somebody? And she even talked about like when you're not feeling good, when you're not feeling well, and I know that this is some level of advice in general for people who are feeling anxious or depressed. And again, this isn't a medical show and I'm not a doctor, so please don't take this as medical advice. But you know, the common practices out there, one of the items is do something for other people. If you're feeling depressed or anxious or stuck, do something for somebody else. Give, volunteer, reach out, even think nice thoughts about someone or say something nice about someone. Basically give and put the focus on somebody else instead of yourself, and then you will feel better because now you're doing things for other people and you're not stuck in your own head, which is what happens to a lot of people. And so when you take that to the next level of being the focus in sales, then what you realize is, okay, well, if I'm doing for other people and I'm not worried about what I'm getting out of this, I'm going to help other people. I'm going to feel better. And here's what I'll tell you. If you play the abundance game and you play the right numbers game, which is that there's 8 billion people on the planet, and if you do this properly, you will achieve your goals. When you have that focus, you will win, right? There's no reason to be scarce minded and have this like, what am I going to get out of this? I need to get something out of this. Like, again, this is where I have the challenge of the never split the difference, which is I need to win and you want what you want, but like I need this. And so that's where that really gets into a difficult spot. And again, you know, we can talk more about it, but that's where it leads into retention issues. Because if I have to win and I want you to mostly win, you might buy, I could pressure you, I could manipulate you, I could trick you, I could NLP you into buying now. But then once that wears off, right? Like once the tricks and the tactics wear off in that person's mind and they step away from the scenario where they've already purchased and they go, wait a second, I don't want this. And I have buyer's remorse and I feel bad and I need to return this or I need to cancel it or I need to complain and get my money back. I need to do a charge back. I need to do whatever the resolution is relative to what they bought. And so that's not a good strategy long-term. So I love the fact that when we really step back a little bit and we look at sales as service and sales as really, how do I help you achieve what you want? This is why I say all the time, my goal is to help people get to a better place, right? I want to leave people better than I found them. And when I do that, and when I do that enough, then I will get what I want as well, right? Like I think it's Zig Ziglar, help enough other people get what they want and you'll get everything you want. And I know I just butchered that, but that's the mindset that you want to have. And I think that's so important. Also, the other part, which was interesting, we were talking about it was about how do you find your authentic self and how do you find alignment and being true to yourself. And then the topic of improv came up. And this is not the first time I've talked to a sales leader, a trainer, somebody focused on sales where they realize the value of improv. And if you're not familiar with improv, think about like, okay, so there's a topic and then you're just running with it. Like if you ever watched improv comedy where it's not scripted, there's no idea. The best ones are like where they say, all right, somebody in the audience throw out a topic and then the person or the people on stage are just going to run with it. And what's interesting with improv, the biggest rule with improv is you can't say but or no. The rule, if you want to be successful at improv, is always yes and. So someone says, well, I saw a giraffe yesterday. The next person can't say, yeah, but this, and this, because that kills the momentum and that kills it off. And that basically is going to stop the story. And I saw a giraffe yesterday walking down the street. Yes, and it had a funny hat on. And then the next person says yes, and then has to keep going with it. And so one of the things is with improv, with Toastmasters, with all of these things, it takes role playing to another level, which is where you are just in the moment. That's the biggest thing. And I mentioned that in the episode 661, when we talked about it, is that really what your goal is to not think about yourself, not think about your strategy and your plan in the moment, to not think about what you're going to say next, but actually be able to step back out of your head and listen and observe what that other person is saying, how they're saying and how they're acting and how they're going about what they're telling you, so that you can then be an active listener and a participant and then respond in an active way based on what they said, not based on what you want to do next or what you think is next, but do that. In improv, you to be successful, you have to literally be listening and then trust that you know what you can say next, or you just roll with it and go with your instincts on what to do and know that it will work out more times than not. That's the key with sales. That's the number one thing I tell everybody, is the point at which you no longer need to think about what you're going to say next is the point at which you're successful in sales. Now, you have to have a plan, you have to have a strategy, you have to have a roadmap. If we talk about, you know, if this was a road trip and we were in the car, the moment where you no longer have to think about how you drive the car and what you have to do to steer and what's going to happen next on the road, then you can be present, you can enjoy the road trip, you can enjoy the people in the car, you can enjoy the moment, you can think about other things, and you can just participate in life. If we remember what it's like when you were new at driving, and you literally had to focus on every single thing of every part of driving a car, you literally couldn't listen to anybody. You probably were missing lots of things on the road. Like, you were just so focused on all of the steps that you couldn't be an active participant as the driver with anyone else. And that's where, like, some states now have laws where, you know, you can get your license at a certain age, but you can't drive with people under a certain age in the car, because they're worried that those people are going to distract you and you have to be so focused because you literally don't have the muscle memory and you don't have the ability to just do it, right? You're not unconsciously competent. You're not just going through it and knowing that you know what to do when the time comes at it, right? Then drive for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, and then literally you get somewhere and you don't even know how you got there because you weren't even paying attention, because it's just on autopilot, because you just know how to do it. That's where you want to get to in sales, but with a listening, not a assuming you know everything. All right. So moving on to part two, literally 12 minutes into this recap, and there's so much more stuff we could talk about. Please make sure to check out these episodes for sure, because I'm not going to do them justice. In part two, when we were talking about sales process, one of the biggest things is she brought up building up trust and diminishing it. And there were so many different things. One line that stuck out is so many salespeople think they're on Shark Tank and their job is to pitch, and that buyers don't want you to pitch to them. They want to be understood and they want to be helped. Again, this isn't Shark Tank. Your job isn't to pitch to people. Your job is to understand people, find out where they're at now, where they would rather be. Again, it's not always about pain. It's not always about the pain submarine and avoiding pain. Sometimes it's gain, right? It can be both. It can be just gain. People just want to do better and better. It's not about pain. And then how can you help them get there? And one of the biggest things she said, and I told her this afterwards, she's like, hey, you know, was this valuable? And what is it that you want to get out of this podcast and the conversation, which happens, right? Good guests, they're like, okay, how can I help you? You know, you're having me on the show. And I said, this is the kind of stuff that's super good for me, because I talk about empathy. I talk about a lot of different things. And literally she brought up the word and then the topic about the foundation of trust being built on concern. And concern being something where I'm concerned for you, and meaning I care about you enough to be concerned about your current situation, which then to me, the next step is, okay, then how do I help you change that situation? How do I help you improve that situation? How do I help you get to a different situation, right? Which for me is the empathy step in the discovery, which is, I just don't want to find out where you're at now and what you're looking for and if you qualify. I actually care enough about you where I don't want to leave you where you are now. Going back to what I said a few minutes ago, I want to help leave you better than I found you. And when you use her word on top of that, which is concern, you have concern and empathy. Now we're talking action steps. It's not just like, hey, I care about you. Good luck with this. It's no, I care about your situation. I want to help you get to a better place. Let's go. And that is amazing. And then the other part too, which I think is fascinating and fun, is that she mentioned and listened to the episode, it's 662, where she talked about how it should feel like a therapy session. This is what I say all the time. Like when you do sales correctly, and I will say correctly as a judgmental phrase, when you do sales correctly, which is human to human, I care about you and I want to leave you in a better place, whether I sell to you or not. You will set up an environment where there is a relationship and trust built at some level. It could be a 3-minute phone call. Again, this doesn't have to be a 6-month sales cycle. Everything is sales and every call is a sales call, like a full complete sales cycle. So it could be a 3 to 5 minute call with somebody as an introduction. When you set things up and you set the stage and your intention is right and your goal is to help leave people better than you found them, when you do the steps in a certain order, you will create that framework in that environment where people will feel that and they will share some stuff with you. It should literally feel like a therapy session when you're done, especially with longer sales calls where people are sharing things and then you're coaching or consulting or helping them or listening and being that person that's actually listening to them because nobody else in their life is listening to them maybe, or actually. And then when you get done, you're like, wow, I feel drained like a therapist would be after an hour long session. I have dealt with longer sales cycle, you know, 30, 40, 60 minute phone calls, one call closed, where you get to the end and you need a break. You're excited because you closed the deal, but you're like, whoo, I just took on a lot of that person's burden because they just shared everything. And to me, that's success. To me, people telling you things that they might not tell anyone else in their life means they trusted you so much as more than a salesperson, but as an advisor, as a mentor, as a coach, as a guide. When you are being told things, that's a sign to me you're doing well. If you're in sales and your customers never tell you anything personal or anything professional, but like maybe about their professional environment, but things they wouldn't tell anybody else, if they're not sharing anything with you, you're missing some steps. There's not a connection there and it's very transactional, which I think is the big thing. So, and then the last part, part three, we talked about technology. We talked about the future of sales. We talked about how, you know, where the sales programs are going in higher education. She's been involved with them for 20 years, which is amazing, and then just keeps moving them forward. So make sure to check that out. A couple things from that third part is buyers want to buy. Obviously, buyers want to buy. And this is the big thing I brought up in here, and I think this is what's really important, is you have to identify it. Some people in sales, they focus on the numbers game and they think, okay, everyone I talk to is a buyer and I should move them forward because buyers want to buy, right? And buyers, and some people say buyers want to be sold. People want to be sold to, right? They don't want to buy, they want to be sold to, which is a terrible thing. They want to be helped. They don't necessarily want to be sold to, like you're doing something to them. Buyers want to buy, but your job is to determine if someone is a buyer or not yet. Right? Not every person that you talk to, not every person you email is a buyer. Not every person is with a pulse is a buyer. They are a lead or a prospect, and your job is to identify them as a buyer. And then once you know that, then your job is to guide them across the finish line. And that's so important. She even talked about the numbers game in there, which was so cool to hear her talk about it. The same stuff that I mention all the time about how the numbers game is so bad externally and internally. And then lastly, please make sure to check this out. We're talking about the sales role being the hardest one in a company. And I never thought about this. And she called it a boundary spanner, which means that person has to deal with the internal company, stakeholders, other departments, especially if you're doing a complex sale. You've got sales engineers, you got operations, you got customer service, you have this, you have that, like all these things internally. And then they have to go external and deal with all the potential customers, the current customers, and all of that. So they have to do internal and external. And let's say customer service, for example, they're dealing with external, but they don't really have to like align a lot of the internal other than making sure that they have the answers and the solution. So yes, they do that as well, but not to the same degree of aligning so many different things. Let's say marketing is mostly internal and then they're putting things external, but they're not dealing with people external, right? They're not having to move people externally forward and internally forward. And so what's interesting is if you run an organization, keep that in mind, how you train, how you coach, how you lead, how you support people in sales. Keep that in mind, right? Something I never thought about, which is you have this person who's trying to play two different games, internal and external, all the time. And how do you help them succeed? And her big thing, and this is where to end this, is that there's a high level of emotional labor. Right? There's emotional labor of dealing with internal politics and teams and stuff. And then there's the emotional labor of trying to help external people move forward and become customers. And then you combine those two and you have 2x the emotional labor. So make sure you focus on that if you're leading and running a team. Please make sure to check out the three episodes, 661, 662, 663. This has been a really long recap. I guess maybe it's not so much of a cliff notes for sure, but hopefully you got some value from this. Please, and again, I said this at the end of the 663 part three with Dr. Stephanie, is please follow these professors. If you're just tuning into this episode for the first time, this is where you found the podcast. A, welcome. B, go back through, find these professors, find them on LinkedIn, find wherever you hang out and support their stuff. Just connect with them on LinkedIn, follow them on LinkedIn, for example. Then they'll show up in your feed, maybe some stuff you interact with that will get out there in the world to other people in your feed. And then just raise this awareness. It's so interesting to think that she has been playing this game in higher education for 20 years. And I just found out about these programs a couple of years ago. Most people don't even know these programs exist. When I was at the conference that she was at with the others, there were so many people that came up to them and said, wait, there's programs for this? Wait, how does this work? Wait, I can hire students that graduate with a degree in sales? Like, wait, I didn't even know. And so the more we can get this out there, the more it changes what companies expect, what people expect from a sales role, and they realize they can get from a training perspective, and it just changes the game of sales for everyone, including all of us as customers out there in the world.